Hebrews chapter 4 and the verses 14 and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The basic definition of a Christian is, as we said last night, one who has a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is one who has a relationship with Christ. Christianity is not just about knowing some facts about the Lord Jesus. Christianity is not just about being related to the church. It's not just about being related to the sacraments, as important as all those things are. But Christianity is about our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ personally. That's what a Christian is. And so this week we are looking at the Christian's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ under six pictures, biblical pictures. And the first we considered last night, Christ our prophet. We looked at that verse in chapter 3. And the verse 1, Christ the apostle and high priest of our profession. And that word, the apostle, that refers to the prophetic office of Jesus. He's our apostle. He is the one who has brought us light. He is the one who has opened our eyes. He is the one who has given us the knowledge of salvation. We that are saved can say, I once was blind, but now I see, because of the great apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will notice in that verse 1 of chapter 3, there is another title that Jesus bears. The order is not without significance. Apostle first, and high priest of our profession. Having taught us, having given us understanding, having opened our eyes, we see him as our great high priest. And so that's what we consider tonight. Christ, our great high priest. The first thing that I would say is, the Christian, the true Christian, is one who has been made aware of his sinfulness and of his alienation from God, and he's made aware, been made aware of the holiness of God. A Christian is one who has been made aware of his sinfulness and been made aware of the holiness of God. I have to start there as we look at Christ's priesthood, because you see, Christ's priesthood takes for granted a breach. Christ's priesthood takes for granted a breach with God. The sinner is separated from God. The sinner is alienated from God. The sinner is far off from God. Between God and the sinner, there is a great gulf. Our sins, the Bible says, have separated between us and God. So there's a breach. And that's why we need a priest. Because a priest comes to stand in that breach and to rectify that breach and to appease God's just anger against us. A priest must step in the breach to do that. And so the Christian is one who has been made aware of that breach. He's one who has seen himself as a sinner, who has discovered that God is holy.
He has been made to feel through the Christ's prophetic office, through the Lord Jesus Christ coming to him and opening his eyes and showing him his sinfulness and showing him the holiness of God. The Christian is one who has come to see the breach. He's been made aware of the great gulf by the Lord. And he has taught us that we cannot appease God ourselves. He has taught us that by our works we cannot recover the divine favor. The person who is not aware of these things, that is, of his sinfulness and of the breach between him and God, is one who is a stranger to this relationship to Jesus Christ that I'm talking about tonight. No one has a relationship with Christ the priest who does not know he is a sinner, who does not know he is far off from God by nature, one who does not feel he is a sinner, who does not feel that God is angry with him every day. Such a one does not feel the need of a priest. He's not aware of these things. And so he'll never make use of the priest if he doesn't feel the breach. He'll not use the priest. He'll have no dealings with the priest. He'll have no relationship with the priest. The Christian is one who wants to go to God. The Christian is one who wants access to God. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace. That's what a Christian wants to do. He wants to have this boldness to come into the presence of God. He wants to have this boldness to come before God. The Christian is one who doesn't only want to escape hell and just to go to heaven, but the Christian is one who wants to know the Lord, wants to know God, wants to have a relationship with God. And the Christian knows that the only way he's going to find that is through a priest. We need to know our need of a priest. That's the foundation of a relationship with Christ in his priestly office, a sense of need of him. The Bible teaches us we need a priest. That's why God spent so much time in the Levitical priesthood and the offerings. He was teaching Israel the need of a mediating priest. If you're one who says tonight, I'm not so bad, God will just accept me the way I am. Or if you're one who says tonight, I deserve to be reconciled to God. Or I can be reconciled to God by my own prayers and by my own works. If you say those kind of things tonight, then by those statements, you're showing that you're not a Christian. And you don't know anything about a relationship with a priest. So we need a priest. The Christian is one who has discovered this. But the Christian then, secondly, is not only one who has seen and felt his need of a priest. The Christian also is one who knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is that priest. And he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only all-sufficient priest. He knows that. You see, we're talking about a relationship with Christ, our priest, tonight. And the foundation of that relationship is knowledge and faith. Knowledge and faith. You can't have a relationship with someone if you don't have knowledge of them and if you don't have some kind of commitment to them. And so a relationship with Christ, our priest, requires knowledge of him, confidence in him as a priest, trust and commitment to him in his priestly work. The Christian is one then who not only knows he needs a priest, but he knows that Christ is that priest, that all-sufficient priest, and he trusts him and believes in him. That priest is referred to in our text there tonight. Let us look at the kind of priest that the Lord Jesus Christ is in verse 14. This all-sufficient priest. This only priest that we need. You'll notice there in verse 14 that he's called a great high priest. He's called a great high priest. That's the kind of priest the Lord Jesus is. He stands alone. He's a great high priest. You know, none of the Old Testament priests were ever called this. None of them. Aaron was called a high priest, and there were others that followed him after he died, and they were called high priests. They represented the people, but none of them were ever called a great high priest. That title is only given to Jesus. He's great. He's the highest priest of all. He's higher than Aaron. He's the great high priest. You know that the Lord Jesus was like Aaron in many ways. He was called of God, verse 4, as was Aaron in chapter 5. But Aaron and the other priests were really only pictures and types. They could never really take away sin. They could never really reconcile man to God. Christ is the unique priest. He is the solitary priest. He is the only great high priest, the highest of all. His priesthood is in another league altogether. His priesthood is in the league of reality. The other priests are in the league of shadows and ceremonies and rituals, prefiguring and picturing Christ, the reality. Christ is in the real league. Christ is in the league where conscience is dealt with, where sin is dealt with. His priesthood is of a higher order. His priesthood is after Melchizedek. His priesthood has a higher ordination, not an ordination from Moses, but an ordination from God, who said to him, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." His priesthood has a higher purity, because those priests were sinners. He is sinless, and his priesthood has a higher sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself. Their sacrifices were just the sacrifices of irrational beasts and animals. So the Lord's priesthood, his kind of priesthood, is a higher one, a solitary one. That's why the apostle calls him a great high priest. But then you notice who Jesus is. Because the apostle says, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. So he tells us who he is. And he particularly picks his first name, Jesus. And he particularly describes him by his divine nature. And he says that our great high priest is Jesus. And he's Jesus, the Son of God. He picks the name Jesus because Jesus means Savior. He's the only priest that is a Savior. He's the only priest who deals with saving souls and removing sin. He's Jesus. And he's different from all the other priests because they were mere sons of Aaron. But Jesus is the Son of God. He is a divine person. And therefore he is sufficient, all sufficient in himself. The highest pedigree of the high priests was their relationship to Aaron. But the pedigree of Jesus is his relationship to the Father. His generation is an eternal generation. He is God the Son, and he is the Son of God. He's a sufficient priest. He's a priest able to deal with our sin because he is a divine priest, a divine mediator. A perfect mediator, therefore, who has the nature of God that we offended and has our nature as well, we that sin. He has both natures.
So he is perfect to mediate in that office between us both and to repair that breach and to reconcile his Father and to deal with our sin and uncleanness. That's who he is, Jesus, the Son of God. But then we see, thirdly, this all-sufficient priest. We see where he was and what he did. We read there in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ passed into the heavens, that assumes that he was on earth as a great high priest. If he's a great high priest that has gone into the heavens, a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, a great high priest that has ascended into glory, then on earth he was a great high priest as well. And he was. He was a priest on earth. He was a great high priest on earth. He is one who did a work on earth. And he did a work on earth as our great high priest. Some of the cults limit the priestly work of Christ to heaven. And they say his priestly work has only to do with heaven. But that's wrong. Christ did priestly work on the earth. And the most important aspect of his priestly work was on the earth. And it was at Calvary. When he offered up the great sacrifice, when the priest, the great high priest, gave himself a sacrifice and an offering to God for our sins. On the cross, he is a priest. And you can't understand the death of Christ if you separate that death from his priestly work. And if he's not a priest on the cross, then that's not a sacrifice on the cross. No, he is a priest on the cross. He did his work on the cross. He does heavenly work now, yes, but he also did earthly work. And concerning that earthly work, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Now, the heavenly work's not finished. The work of intercession, that goes on. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, "It is finished," he was saying his work on the earth was finished. And his work on the earth was to rectify the law, to repair that breach, to take away the wrath of God, to deal with the justice of God, to satisfy the Father. It's a finished work that he wrought on the cross, and it's an accepted work. He did it for us. So you see where he was and what he did on the cross for us as our great high priest. Chapter 7 and verse 27, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." He did that on the cross. It's a completed work on the cross. He only did it once on the cross. It's not repeated. Calvary can never be repeated. The sacrifice can never be carried out again. It's a once completed offering. And it's once because it's finished, it's sufficient, it's enough. You see, the other priests, they had to offer them every day because they didn't deal with sin. They only dealt with ceremonial impurity. And you went out and touched something dead again, or you got another stain again ceremonially, and you had to go through all the ritual again. It was only instructive. The one who deals with sin is Christ, the great high priest. And he only had to deal with it once. What a sacrifice that was. What a sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Son of God. Who can fathom it? But this I believe, it was all sufficient. It was enough. And he said, "It is finished." So we see where he was and what he did. But then we see where he is. Where is our priest now? Where we read that Jesus, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. So you see where he is now. He's in the heavens. That's where he is presently. He is alive forevermore. He's still our priest in glory. His priestly office has not ceased. He's a priest for us in heaven, and we can have a relationship with him. He's alive forevermore. He wears the garments of a priest. He's dressed in the garb of a priest. He's our advocate with the Father. He's passed into the heavens. Oh, what an instructive thought that is. Jesus has passed into the heavens. Whenever he was on earth, he was carrying sin. He was bearing sin. The Lamb of God that beareth the sin of the world. And I tell you, if he was still bearing it when he went into heaven, he would never get in. But he bore it, and he bore it away. He put it away in the sacrifice of himself. He has sinned no more. Our sins he has removed, and he's passed into the heavens. And there he is for us, who wore our sins once, but now no more has them upon his person, because he's removed them by the sacrifice of himself in his blood shedding. They're gone. And he's removed them. He's passed into the heavens. He's been accepted. The finished work has been all sufficient. The Father has allowed him to enter in. Yes, the Father has put him in the very chiefest seat in glory. Sit thou there, my son. He has the liberty of a full entrance. And there he is in glory. And in glory, what does he do? He makes the throne of grace accessible. That's what he does. The breach has been repaired. We have a great high priest in glory. Do you see what the apostle's saying? Let us therefore go boldly onto the throne of grace. There's no more breach. We don't have to go fearfully. We don't have to go fearing that we'd be rejected. We can go with great liberty and with great boldness because our priest is there. That's where he is. Aaron, you know, only served in the earthly tabernacle. They were only ever priests on earth, but our priest is in heaven. Our priest lives on the power of an endless life. Verse 24 of chapter 7.